And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is competitiveness. My first guest is the Executive Vice President of the Council on Competitiveness. We discussed what it takes to keep the United States competitive in the world marketplace today. My next guest is a former 27-year high school head football coach in Delaware who's made a study of accomplishing the seemingly impossible. We'll discuss his blueprint for pulling off the upset in business and in life. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bruce Reynolds, as I said, is a former high school football coach with over 218 wins and 7 state championships to his credit. He's fascinated by the psychology and the philosophy of how to pull off the big upset. Coach Reynolds is also an 18-year member of the Delaware House of Representatives, serving as the chairman of the Education Committee as well. We'll discuss his latest book, Art of the Upset, that is a compilation of his experiences and the sum of what he's learned about reversing the odds to pull off the upset. Bruce, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Just fine, Billy. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board. First of all, as a winning football coach, and second of all, as somebody who has made a study of the psychology of the upset. So let's just start with a little bit about your coaching background. You've had the privilege and the responsibility to mold the minds and the work ethics of many young men over the past 27 years. Whether you're motivating high school students or whether you're motivating adults, same principles hold true. So what did your years of coaching teach you about motivating people?
Well, a lot. First off, it was a real privilege to be able to do that. I got as much out of it or more than the people I coached. But what I found out is by just watching and studying and experiencing competition that there's certain principles that you just can't get away from if you want to be consistently competitive. It's pretty much like a blueprint I think you can outline for someone to follow. And there's several principles that you just have to follow to get where you want to get. And I think that in my book, I try to outline some of those things you need to do to achieve that.
All right, well, let's talk about some of those, Bruce, because here you've got a lifelong study of this. So what did you learn? What are some of the top principles in order to be competitiveness on a repeatable basis?
Well, first off, a lot of people say that they say, you know, you shouldn't really play to win, that's it's over-focused, and a lot of that is true. However, it's even biblical. There, you know, you run the race to win. So I don't think we should shy away from saying we want to win. And that's why you keep score. We go into it for that reason. But the problem is, it's how you go about that. And so what I did was for my kids and people I coached, and again, people I taught in the classroom, in politics, the principles don't change. But I defined winning very differently. I defined winning purely as maximum effort. Because when you give maximum effort, you remove a lot of the negativity that comes with just trying to win. Because I've seen so many teams, they go out there to win, and then when it's not going their way, they deflate. Mm. They get a downward spiral, and they can't recover from it. The momentum just totally shifts. But when your goal is totally maximum effort, you never shy away from that. You just give it right to the whistle blows, and it removes a lot of that negative aspects of the momentum shift.
All right. Now, Bruce, it's interesting, over your 27-year career, you've seen a lot of changes in the popular mindset and everything else, and some of the children that you coached came up through the generation that says everybody gets a trophy. You know, you get a trophy for participating, and that there shouldn't be any of this separation of winners and losers and that kind of stuff. How did you overcome that social idea in order to produce championship football teams?
Well, I think there's simple things you can do. One, our trophy system, everyone that participated and you know, stayed with us the entire year, gave us everything they could, followed all our rules, did everything they could do as a participant, we rewarded that equally with everyone. We tried to take the emphasis away from most valuable player type awards, and we gave awards for outstanding leadership, outstanding effort, those type of things we rewarded more highly and tried to keep it as a team concept instead of an individual concept. because I've never understood, particularly in the sport that I worked in most closely, which was football. You see a quarterback getting all the credit for throwing a touchdown pass, and yet you don't. I mean, you know, what's the reality of that achievement? Well, there was a line that blocked some backs too. There was a receiver that ran a great pattern, made a good catch. So there was many people that participated in that, and to single out one person for high achievement is counterproductive.
All right. We're talking to Bruce Reynolds, everybody, author of the book Art of the Upset, also a 27-year high school football coach and has seven state championships to his credit in the state of Delaware. And we're talking about his principles for consistent competitiveness, the first principle, play to win. Bruce, what are some of the other principles that you've discovered over your 27 years?
Well, you know, media, friends, people in your school and where I worked, we called some of them the hallway warriors. They can have a big impact. Parents can have a big impact on how a kid thinks about the competition. And a lot of times it's very negative. It can work. If they overrate you, you know, you're going to win, then you don't really prepare as well. You're not as focused. Or if they say you're not going to win, I see too many people play out that, you know, almost like fulfill the prophecy.
Hmm.
But what I found, and you teach this, you can actually teach this and create this. I call it a creative visualization. You have to create your own reality, as far as I was concerned, because the media will tell you that the other team is too big, too fast, too strong, they're undefeated, you can't possibly win. Well, if you buy into that, you don't have a chance. But if you create your own reality, in other words, you totally disregard the sensory reality, you know, auditory, those things you hear, visual, those things you see, you read, totally remove them from your thinking and create your own reality by saying things like, if we do this, and you give them very concrete things. Let me give you an example of how I would try to create
sure.
this in the real world. When we were playing somebody that was, you know, by everyone's thinking, were superior to us, would take my team out on the field, the game field, and I would say, you know, I don't want touchdowns. I don't want long runs and passes. I mean, if you get that, that's fine. I'm just going to give it back. But what I did was I took my whole team and I lined them up all the way across the field from sideline to sideline, and I had them take 2.5 steps. That's all, just 2.5 steps, which pretty much came out to 2.5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, I said, all I want you to do is do this 4 times in a row. Well, 2.5 times 4 is 10 yards. That's a first down. And then you want to be consistent, and that's all I want you to do. I want, again, 2.5 yards times 4. And pretty soon we're down there in the red zone, and we march in, and we'll score. But you give them something concrete. So when you're looking at these big, strong, fast people, instead of trying to think you got to beat them, you just got to think, boy, we double-team this guy, we do this, we do, you know, do their techniques properly, and we give maximum effort, we can get 2.5 yards. And so that's kind of the approach that I always use to try and get them achieve and pull off the upset.
Oh, we're talking to Bruce Reynolds, everybody. He's given us some great keys, not only for football, but for life, in what he's learned over 27 years as a high school football coach. Bruce, that's a marvelous lesson. What other lessons did you learn that you can communicate to my listeners?
Well, there's a lot. There's really so much. It would take a long time to go through everything. But some things I think are interesting. I've taken a lot of stuff from history. I think you have to be passionate. Matter of fact, your first guest that I was listening to was talking about you have to have a passion for education
mm-hmm.
for us to overcome the gap that we're seeing. And I took things from all the way back from Socrates, where he told the story of a dispassionate young man that came to see him, and he said, oh, Socrates, I want knowledge. And Socrates said, okay. So he took him down to the water, dunked him under the water, held him under for a while, and the guy came up gasping for air, and he said, what'd you say you want? He says, I want knowledge. And Socrates put his head back under the water, held him longer. The guy came up sputtering, what do you want? Knowledge. Well, he put him down the third time and held him for a long time, and when the guy finally came up, all he could say was, I want air. And Socrates told him, well, as soon as you want knowledge, as much as you want air, you'll get it. So you have to have a passion for things. I think that's absolutely critical. You have to have a focus, and that focus can't be like a flashlight, which is too diffused and broad. You've got to have like a laser-like focus. And I think you have to be willing to lose. You have to have the mindset you're willing to lose in order to win. Just like Michael Jordan always said, he put himself, had no fear of putting himself on the line to take that last shot for a game winner. But he knew full well that if he missed, then he could be blamed for the loss. But he was not afraid to lose. And so he went in totally with a positive mindset and practice. He worked hard. And he went in there fully believing he was going to make that last shot. Jack Nicklaus said he never putted a ball until he was positive he was going to make it. So you take those kinds of principles, and I always looked at history and tried to get as many examples from history as I could, showed films like one of the greatest upsets maybe in American history, maybe it is the most famous, was the 1980 ice hockey team against the Russians.
The miracle on
didn't
ice.
Didn't stand a chance. And yet they didn't think so. They believed in each other and did the things necessary. And like what old Henry Ford would say, if you think you can't, you're probably going to be right. So you've got to believe in yourself, and then go at it with a passion, give maximum effort.
All right. We're talking to Bruce Reynolds, whose book is Art of the Upset. We're talking about his principles for sports and for life. And Bruce, I want to circle back around to one that you just mentioned, and that is the willingness to lose in order to win. I guess my first question is, in all of your state championships, did you ever have an undefeated team?
Yes. We had two. We had two undefeated teams, and it was just as hard to keep that motivation going when you're winning, because winning hides a lot of mistakes. When you're losing, everyone analyzes what's going wrong, how can we get better. When you're winning, it has a tendency to get lost in the shuffle, that you're doing well, you don't think you really need to improve. And so what we did all year long was we just said, look, we're doing well. I mean, you can't hide that. Everybody knows you're doing well. You're undefeated. But we can get better, and here's how we get better in these areas, these skills, these techniques. And what we did, we got simpler. It's called the hedgehog philosophy, where, you know, the hedgehog knows one thing, and that's how he rolls up in a ball. You know, the fox, he knows all kinds of tricks to try and get the hedgehog, but the hedgehog knows one thing, and he does it so extremely well that he's almost invincible. The fox can't get him. So we said, okay, instead of getting more complicated and fancy and all kinds of trick things, and we had those things in, but we went back what we called our six-pack, and our six-pack would be six running plays to the right, identical mirrored to the left, and then we used play-action passes off every one of those plays, and we said we will know these thoroughly against any defense. It doesn't matter what kind of blitz. We were ready for it with those plays. And when things got tough, instead of throwing out more things to do, we just went back to the basics and stayed fundamental. And that's the way we practice fundamentals every day.
We're talking to Bruce Reynolds. And Bruce, when you talk about your six-pack, let's talk about that in a competitive sense, because your other teams are scouting you. And ultimately, their scouts are going to know that you're falling back to these six plays, six to the left, six to the right, and each one of them has an option. So doesn't it make you more vulnerable competitively if you fall back on those simple principles? And if it doesn't, why not?
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. Sun Tzu in The Art of War, he outlined, a lot of business people, a lot of Wall Street people, they've written books, I've read them, where they actually use his principles in Wall Street planning. But he was a big, big believer in scouting. But the big thing that a lot of people don't do is scout themselves. Well, when you do what I would do, I knew exactly what they were seeing. Of course, many times in a game before a big game, I would set them up to scout me, and I would show them certain sets, certain formations, and run only certain plays from it. What you do when you play them is then you change the set, change the formation, give it a different look, but run the same plays so your kids know them, but you just move one kid or put a kid in motion. So by scouting yourself, you know what they're seeing, and then you plan accordingly. I found that worked great. And then when you look at the principles of the six-pack that I used, you didn't know if it was coming. My formations would stay very, very static at times, but you had to line up balanced. You couldn't overload a side against us because you didn't know if it was coming right. You didn't know if it was coming left. And, of course, we had counter plays and draws for people that over-pursued and flew to the ball and, you know, just flew to the ball. We'd have them going one way and come back against that. That was part of our six-pack. And then we threw off of each one of those type plays, so you had to have your secondary ready to stop pass. They just couldn't come up and support run. So, again, the key there was scouting yourself and knowing what they're seeing.
All right. We're talking to Bruce Reynolds, everybody, author of the book Art of the Upset. And, Bruce, I have to ask you, what was the greatest upset that you pulled off in your life?
In my life?
Mm-hmm.
Political, believe it or not.
Really?
Not a game, although we had upsets. Particularly early in my career, we played a team, and we were not very good at the time when I first started. Matter of fact, my first 2 years, we lost our 14 games my first two years. But then we changed it all around and never lost again, had a losing season, rather. And that was a team that had two All-State running backs that were averaging over 100 yards per person.
Wow.
Both of them in the season. And we held them to 7 yards and 5 yards in the game and beat them. And we did some special things. They had an All-State tackle. We never ran at him, not once in the entire game. And we said, you know, we just stacked our defense to the base plays they wanted. And then we went out there and ran only certain plays, but always away from their All-State tackle, and it worked. So that was the one football-wise. And we had a 6-4 season that gave us the winning game that we needed to have our first winning season when I started. And that started our run after that. Politically, why I say that was my most. I was in my party registration was down 5-1. I actually started out with only 17% in my district registered in my party.
Mm-hmm.
My particular party had never won ever in the history of Delaware, and I called my political campaign team to elect Reynolds. I went out and got good people, great people, just like I would assistant coaches, and we ran it like a team, treated it like a team. We all went out and worked, had my family involved, and we hit every single door personally hit every single door and just worked like crazy, stayed focused, and we won.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a marvelous story.
My personal biggest upset.
Oh, that is a marvelous story. We've been talking to Bruce Reynolds, everybody, whose book, Art of the Upset. Now, Bruce, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Okay, they should go to my website. It's coachbrucereynolds, and that's R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S. So coachbrucereynolds.com.
Coachbrucereynolds.com. Bruce, it has been a real delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, my pleasure. Thanks again for the invitation.
Thank you.